Just like that. Karen Allison is one of the premier jazz vocalists in the world, and whenever she comes out with a new disc, there's reason to slow down and take a listen. Her new one is Karen Allison Sings Rodgers and Hammerstein, and she sings Rodgers and Hammerstein with a pair of jazz world superstars, Kenny Barron on piano and John Patitucci on bass. Karen once lived in Kansas City, and she performs tonight at the Blue Room, and I'll be watching from just a few feet away. This is Karen Allison singing Happy Talk. And Karen, it's always good to have you here. Welcome back.
Great to be with you, Steve.
I should always say Karen Allison of Great Bend, Kansas, here in the studio, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Why Rodgers and Hammerstein? And maybe the question is, you know, why not Rodgers and Hammerstein? But what are you doing?
I was, you know, scheming on a new concept and happened to be watching Channel 13 in New York City, a public television channel, and they had a Grand Masters series on about Oscar Hammerstein.
You were watching public television, as
absolutely
a very good adult person should do.
My favorite channel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I just was, you know, I grew up with these songs anyway.
Yeah.
And I was in the South Pacific as a kid. I was Nellie Forbush and when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, loved Oklahoma, loved like everyone. And I just thought, well, what a nice concept it might be to do all Hammerstein lyrics with, of course, Richard Rodgers' melodies. And you cannot lose with these songs.
You were really struck by Oscar Hammerstein's sort of his life story. It really caught
right
you. What caught you about it?
He was such a decent human being. And he wrote about it in his lyrics. He wrote about justice issues. He wrote about interracial marriage. He wrote about equality, really. And that's not something that happens every day in musicals. So I really admired that. And he also stuck up for his friends in court.
Yeah.
And he was just a very decent man.
You know, you have called this, his music and their music, near perfect music. What makes it near perfect in your view?
When you can marry such beautiful melodies with lyrics that, you know, especially for musicals aren't, I mean, I guess they could be considered corny, but they're so present today. They're so relevant today.
Yeah.
I guess that's what I feel like near perfect is. If it's relevant and if it's beautiful at the same time, you can't lose with it.
And something about music, if it's enduring,
right?
That's a quality.
That's
like
right.
I guess like great literature, that adds something special to the whole thing too.
Yes, that's true. Because you'll be able to sing it 100 years from now, and it'll still be, you know, current.
You know, you've got these world-class musicians on this date, guys that I just have listened to for years. Let's start with the musicians here because they're just simply at the top of their class.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get Kenny Barron and John Patitucci? You know?
Well,
and what did it take to get those guys? What did it cost you? Yeah.
Well, you want numbers?
No. Yeah. I'd be interested, but that's a different topic.
That's a different topic.
Yeah.
I was on the same bill with Kenny Barron. I've long admired his playing.
Course,
such a
of
beautiful,
course,
elegant, soulful player. And he also loves Brazilian music, and we were on
which you've done a whole lot of.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I've always wanted to do a project with him. And about, I don't know, a year or two ago, I was on the same bill with him, and I said, Kenny, would you ever want to do a project with me? And he said, of course, just let me know what it is. So this came up, and I thought he would be perfect for it because he adds exactly what this music calls for, elegance and soul. It really is beautiful what he does. And John, I had worked with on our CD called Ballads, Remembering John Coltrane.
Right.
So
right,
I knew that he would add such beautiful things to my arrangements. So.
A critically acclaimed album on John Coltrane, I should point out. You did very well with that album.
Just
tell me, those two guys, are they as good a guy? Are they good guys? I hope they're good
they're
guys
because
I just love their music.
They're absolutely beautiful guys. And we have a little, if people are interested in hearing them talk about about the CD, and there's a little clip on my website. You can see, you can watch Kenny and John talk about it. But they were so sweet in the studio. We had two rehearsals total at my apartment in New York City. Mm. And then we went into the studio and did 2 days and did 15 tunes. So they were consummate.
You did it in your apartment?
The rehearsals.
The rehearsals.
Yeah.
And then you went to
We went to the studio, yes. Yeah. Your sound in New York.
And your producer, tell us about him as well.
Michael Lenhart is Jay Lenhart's son.
Yeah.
Yeah, wonderful bassist, his son, Michael. But Michael's also a musician, a trumpet player, and a producer, and he works with people like...
Yeah, what's that guy's name? Yeah, I'm the new guy. I read
so
it last night. Yeah.
Yeah. And also Steely Dan.
Yeah.
He's,
right.
He works with them. And, but he and I have been friends, and I thought about doing another kind of project with him actually, but this one came up sooner. So he wanted to be involved in this. So I thought, cool, that's great.
Okay. So when you work with people like this and you go into the studio, are you feeling more pressure to get the first take down right? Or how, even after all these years, what kind of pressure did you feel?
It's not really pressure, I guess. I really enjoy the recording process.
Do you?
I mean, yeah, I do. It's very different than performing, which is, I love both for different reasons. You don't have to worry about performing when you're recording. You're just about the music. You're not about performing.
Is it freeing because if you screw up, you can just redo it?
Well, yeah. I mean, our goal is to be as organic as possible and do it, not have to redo things and not have to dub over or whatever. But if you have to do it, you have to do it because you want a good product. And but, you know, I'm more of a perfectionist maybe than Kenny, because he at one point he said, you know what, it's jazz, it's fine. You know, maybe we didn't. So he was.
Whatever.
He's old school about that. You know, he just wants to capture the beauty and the soulfulness of it and the spontaneousness of it and move on.
So you didn't feel any more pressure not to screw up in front of the great Kenny Barron?
He didn't make me feel like that. No, I feel like it was a colleague.
Yeah.
And he was helping me make this album sing.
We're talking with the great Karen Allison about her new disc on Rodgers and Hammerstein tunes. Here's Karen Allison singing, "Oh, What a Beautiful Morning."
There's a bright golden haze in the meadow. There's a bright golden haze in the meadow. And the corn is as high as an elephant's eye, and it looks like it's climbing clear up to the sky. Oh, the sounds of the earth are like music. Oh, the sounds of the earth are like music. And the breeze is so busy that it don't miss a tree. And an old weeping willow is a laughing at me. Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. You know I've got a beautiful feeling
That's Oh What a Beautiful Morning. Karen Ellison sings Rodgers and Hammerstein. That's the new disc that she just has out. She performs twice tonight at the Blue Room in the 18th and Vine District. More information, just go to the American Jazz Museum website. Two shows tonight at the Blue Room, 18th and Vine. Did you pick these tunes, or how did all that work out?
Oh, yeah. What I did was, when I was watching the program on Channel 13, I ordered the DVD set, and I watched these movies, these musicals, over and over and over again to remind myself of to make lists of songs that maybe I had overlooked in the past.
Yeah.
Besides just the hits that we know of. You know, for example, we did a tune called Something Good from the, you know, the musical I'm talking about.
Yeah,
the gazebo scene with Sound of Music.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And so that song I've never really heard sung out loud
Edelweiss?
Before.
Edelweiss?
No, it's called Something Good.
Something Good, but you also have Edelweiss.
Oh, and Edelweiss as well, exactly. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to do some lesser, you know, hit type, and you have to make sure that you can do something with them. These are my arrangements, so it was the way these guys, as I said, helped make them sing. Is I just am so loving what they did with
it. So you do the arrangements, and then does somebody like Kenny Barron, does he tinker and add, and
sure.
You say, Kenny, that sounds pretty good.
Absolutely.
You're a good vocalist. You say, Kenny, that sounds good,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
For example, Surrey, we did Surrey with the Fringe on top,
yes.
And I had, you know, the bulk of the tune, the head of the tune arranged in a certain way. But he said, what about the verse? And he started to play the verse. I said, oh, man, I forgot about the verse. You know, how could I forget about the verse? So I said, please just play that in, you know, instrumentally in the key that this is in. He goes, okay. So he figured it out. And you get players, you know, for example, players like I'm working with tonight, Bob Bowman and Laura Caviani, they are the best as well.
Yeah.
And they add their own beautiful, that's what jazz is all about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you put your personality and your life into it.
Karen Ellison is my guest. You know, the last time you were here, Karen, I think it was last year, you were about to give a TED Talk here in town, and you were a little anxious about doing that. That's a pressure deal. In that talk, you spoke about one key to what you do as a creative artist, which is trying to, you know, figure out how to unlock what is inside of you so that you can unlock what's inside of your listeners, which I thought was a really interesting idea, this unlocking process.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the process that you use to figure out what's inside of you so that you can begin to create the kind of art that you want to create? I mean, do you go through a thing to get ready? And what do you do?
For performing, you know, you've done your homework up to that point, and then you pretty much just try and let it go.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are all kinds of things you're thinking about, but mostly you really have to focus. I mean, when I'm done with a gig, I'm really tired, you know, I'm up, but I'm also tired because the amount of focus it takes is a lot. But mostly I want people to feel better than when they came in. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
Because when, as an audience member, that's what I want.
Yeah.
I want
to
make it worth my while to go and, you know, to get something out of it. So that's my hope for with performing.
I mean, as you worked on the arrangements of these tunes on your new disc, is there a process that you have to go through to sort of relax into the moment? I mean,
sure.
For me, when I'm writing, it means taking one piece of Eclipse gum and then two, and then pretty soon it's up to nine. And I start chewing to help my brain, you know, do what it has to do.
Well, you're a master at this. I got to say that I'm not as good talking as you are.
I'm not chewing gum right now either, by the way. Yeah.
But as far as the arrangements go, you know, what I do is I get, it's pretty, it's just what musicians do. You get a lead sheet or you transcribe what you hear on the recording, unless you're writing it. And then you take the basic thing and you think, well, what can I do with this? And I sit down at the piano and figure something out.
Is doing that easier now than it used to be?
Yeah, because I feel more, I think, I don't know if it's easier, but I'm more apt to experiment with it now because I've had some success with it. I think at first I was thinking, oh, it's probably not good enough for blah, 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 and, you know, this and that. We question ourselves. But you know what? I've been at this for a while, and if I just have to put it out there and see what happens.
You know, for me, the questioning process is less than it used to be. You know, I used to question everything when you first start. Do you question yourself less and sort of just go with your instinct, you know?
Yeah, outwardly.
Yes, isn't that?
I think we're always, you know, inwardly questioning ourselves, but you have to have some kind of confidence level, and, you know, I have a good support system, you know, my musicians, Rod Fleeman, of course, and Bill McLaughlin, my sweetie, so I have my family and my friends and fans, you know, they've really been supportive with me.
What does being nominated for Grammys, and you were nominated, if I remember the stat right, four consecutive discs for Grammys Jazz Vocalist albums, what does that do for your confidence? Because that's pretty slick, Karin. I mean, you can't do a whole lot better than that.
Sometimes I think, is that real? Did that really happen?
Exactly. That's pretty
did
good.
Did I make that up? Or did I dream it? It does a lot. I mean, but there are so many. It's not all there is, of course, in this business. I mean, there are so many deserving folks out there
well,
that
course.
Don't get recognized, and so I know that, and so I feel very lucky. That's it.
It was a long road for you, you know, to get from Great Bend, Kansas, to Kansas City by way of Omaha and San Francisco. Do I have that right?
Pretty much, yeah.
That's an interesting circuit, Karin.
Yes, it is. It's kind of like my touring dates.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Who makes this stuff up?
Who's ever duplicated that particular set of cities
I
as
don't know.
She's risen
it's
up?
A strange thing, but no. But my mom moved out to California, so I went to be with her for my senior year of high school, mm-hmm. and so that's how that happened. We visited a lot. So the Bay Area, Oakland, California. But I loved it. I loved the change. That's when I was in musicals when I got out there, and some other theater.
And you were how old when you wound up back here in Kansas City?
Ooh, 20, mid-20s.
Yeah. What kind of base of operations was Kansas City as a testing ground, as a growing ground for someone like yourself?
Well, I got very lucky because, you know, I had these fabulous musicians that are still here today and playing beautifully. Danny Embry, Rod Fleeman, Bob Bowman, Todd Straight, Paul Smith, mm-hmm. you know, and I could go on. Russ Long, Milt Abel, I got to work with them. And so the earlier folks in Kansas City, it's such a rich heritage in this city. And I'm so heartened to see all the growth that's happened here, too, just physically, it's looking great, and mm-hmm. Certain places are building up beautifully. And 18th and Vine District looks great,
and more stuff's coming down there.
More stuff's coming there. So Kansas City was a wonderful place for me for the time I was here.
We have an email here from Alice who writes, "I'll never forget when Karin Allison gave her time to sing in the Shawnee Mission West cafeteria to support the band program at a fundraiser. John Selzer, a big promoter of jazz, was the school band director at the time. It was such a treat to hear her then."
That's very sweet.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Do you see the jazz scene here? I mean, it's evolving, but as you come back periodically, can you see shifts and changes and new clubs, old clubs, the whole thing?
Sure, absolutely. Places close down, they reopen. You know, the Phoenix is an example. My uncle used to own it, of course, and the heyday was, I feel, when we were there because, you know, Tim Whitmer and my band and the Scamps. And, I mean, those were some crazy times and fun times.
Yeah, I said this on the show just the other day, the Scamps, you just mentioned, that sort of gritty, soulful Kansas City sound. And I sort of, you know, things change, things evolve, and that's what music's all about. But I sort of miss that real earthy Kansas City thing that used to happen when I first came to town, you know?
Yeah, I don't know what, since I'm not here that often, you know, and I do go out and hear a few folks that don't know. So it's like, yeah, that's changed since I don't know the folks. But I find the old Kansas City sound kind of sweet. You know,
yes.
There was a real sweetness.
It's a nice word to it for it, yeah.
You know, those guys, they grew up with that music. And, you know, there was just, like I said, a sweetness about it that, I don't know, you can't teach that.
Yeah. You know, you've said that you always have this list of four or five albums that you're thinking about, and mm-hmm. a lot of your albums are sort of concept ideas mm-hmm. that you put out. What are you thinking about now going forward, and what's the process you go through to conceive of an album like that?
I do have about three or four I'm thinking of now.
Do you?
And one of them is original material, and so I actually thought I was going to do that first before this Rodgers and Hammerstein project, but I'm still working on stuff, so I want to get that out there. And it's not necessarily all jazz; it's just my tunes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of them.
How many tracks do you have ready to go?
Well, I have enough, but I'm always wondering: do I need to make sure that they're more of one kind of thing, or do people care? Maybe they just don't care. Maybe it's just Karin songs and that's it.
Yeah.
Do I want it more of a jazz thing or more of a pop thing? Because mm-hmm. I have both things going on. And so that's kind of, and I'll decide that with the label too, this new label I'm working with, Motema Records, mm-hmm. which is a great label in New York City run by a fabulous woman, Jana Herzen. So she's into experimenting as well. So we'll see what happens.
Well, that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Well, I should point out again that Karen Allison performs tonight two shows at the Blue Room in the 18th and Vine District. Go to the American Jazz Museum website for more information. Her new disc, Karen Allison Sings Rodgers and Hammerstein. And we're going to go out and listen to Many a New Day. What about this track? Anything about it that we should know?
This was a track I didn't know that very well. It's from Oklahoma. It's when Lori, the character Lori, is in the changing room with her women friends and saying that she doesn't give it up, doesn't care about Curly anymore, and many a new day and many a new face will please her eye. And it's a sweet little tune.
You know, it's always great to have you here. Always a pleasure,
Karen. Always a pleasure talking with
you. You know I'm a big fan.
Well, I'm a fan of yours, too.
Great. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Steve.
Here's Karen Allison singing Many a New Day.
Many a new face will please my eye. Many a new love will find me. Never have I once looked back to sigh.